Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate.
Now listen to this, I'll tell you about the heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopelessness, the meager food, the soul for God. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
All right, better late than never. Well, better late than never.
Have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations are red. Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when the blue snowflakes start falling,
everybody,
that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white. But I have a blue Christmas.
And welcome everybody to another exciting edition of Stoma Time. I'm your host, Dr. Mark. I made it back from Buffalo Wild Wings by way of San Diego. And I am here to have a flu Christmas with you tonight. We're going to be going back over a bunch of shows, a bunch of articles, just retracing our steps as we get our final approach to the holidays here and look back over a year that was basically earmarked by one thing, and that was, you know, our good friend, Mr. Flu. So let's have a, maybe just give us a little taste of what others in the audience might be experiencing right now.
All right, that's it. He's fired.
Yeah.
Can I talk to you, Val?
No,
I'm
yeah,
okay.
Please.
I'm back.
Yeah, that was a show we did back in the spring when the flu began, so I figured I'd toss it at you at the beginning of the show here. We're going to have a guest on at 9:30 to go over some of the developments in the Ukraine with our plague. We have now progressed from H1N1, as I call it, to this mysterious and seemingly self-contained, which is odd, outbreak that happened about a month and a half ago in Kiev over there in the Ukraine, where nobody cares, right? So, we were also summer casting live, third period action, Rangers and Islanders. A couple of fights in the game. I was over there at Buffalo Wild Wings here in New Rock City. And, maybe the King was there. Giving
the two things you need to know. Uh-huh.
Right.
I'm the King. And number two is...
Look out, man!
That's right. Actually, I got the opportunity to meet one Carl Banks, so shout out to him there. I'm sure he cares. The legendary linebacker for the football Giants, currently doing the Giant games with Bob Papa on the radio, on The Fan. And I got a chance to meet him. He actually signed my Giant sweatshirt and got to do one of the famous rants over there and, meet the peeps, see my Pal Talk friends. It was fun. Me getting out the house. So getting back to our flu situation, guys. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but it really has been a long and winding road for our friend the flu. And just to kind of go over a couple of things that maybe you missed in the last week or so. By the way, did you guys dig the show last week in San Diego? That was fun. I got out to meet the people from Awarecom and get out of my rut over here. It was an interesting trek back and forth, but the time I spent out there was, I'm still processing a lot of it, but hopefully you guys listen to the show and get ready for the next wave of technology as everything starts to fall apart, and these guys are there to pick us up, so it's going to be an interesting trick of the tail as things start to change. So anyway, getting back to our friend the flu here, if I could just get this article to open up. Well, computer's a little fickle. Number to call to chime in. If you have someone who had the swine flu, I want to hear your story. At 646-478-4847. That's 646-4847. And, you know, we're going to be doing a couple of riffs about our friends in climate change zone, too, because hopefully Friday. Now, this has an odd twist. NSM doc from Sacromaniac out in California. We're going to do a commando show Friday night at 9 about the entire Copenhagen summit and all the ramifications therein. But we might have to postpone it because it seems Mrs. Doc has taken ill. So we'll be confirming that. So watch us over here on the Blog Talk link. And if we have to punt it to, say a Tuesday night or something like that, we'll let you know. Or maybe we'll do it a little later Friday because we got the clock in our favor here because he's out west. Maybe after his kids asleep and his wife's, kind of crashed for the night, we'll get old NSM doc to give us his spin on what happened over there in Copenhagen. So it's going to get interesting. So let's see if I can find this. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it was an article a couple days ago, so I'll know in a second, about what the business, the flu business is to Big Pharma. Because, they got lots of egg on their face right now, understandably. They've really screwed it up, screwed the pooch on this thing, and there's really no going back. I mean, when they write the Wikipedia page for this year, H1N1 was a big flop. It's like a monster movie that didn't scare anybody, and it becomes kind of a cult classic. They forecast 90,000 people were going to die, and they made it really scary, and it didn't work out that way. So there's an article from November about in Business Week about how Big Pharma profits from the swine flu. Now, it is no mystery that one of the things that they've been debating with this healthcare stuff has to do with the disease care model that we've been perpetuating. And the article starts off with a little byline here. It says, once spurred by drug makers as low margin and risky, vaccines such as H1N1 are now a growing business for Novartis and others. So here you have all this going on in under the guise of public health, under the guise of this is a pandemic, and it's nothing but an old-fashioned train robbery. That's all you got. All right, so here's Novartis, this, big old drug company that's out there. I will help you with that flu. Actually, it's getting late in the game here, but let me punch up a little flu music here. Might be the final time I get to play this year. Here we go. That's right.
Oh, son of a bitch, a gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's right. Well, here we have looking at Novartis and how they profited. Basically, they got $487 million in federal funding. All right, because they volunteered to make this to fast track this this vaccine, and they jumped on it, and they were the first ones in the pie, and it produces flu vaccines in dog kidney cells instead of chicken eggs, an innovation. However, in 2011, that's the earliest they're going to be able to start making these cell-based vaccines. Wait till that comes out. So this technology is not going to stop here. They took this outbreak, or whatever you want to call it, or the sort of mass marketing of H1N1 as an opportunity to get funding. So what we got here is 50 million doses of H1N1 vaccine being distributed through November to reach about a third of the population of 160 million Americans, basically, that they wanted to see inoculated. I think they got half that done. People didn't volunteer. And the resurgence of vaccines. I grew up in the age of rubella, umbrella, and all that stuff. It wasn't too long ago vaccines were deemed poor relation to the pharmaceutical industry, their complexity and high cost of manufacture, coupled with low margins of profit, and all the litigation, that nasty litigation, it deterred them. See, and then you got guys like Merck and GlaxoSmithKline, of course, Pfizer, all jumping on this thing. and they're all getting freaking rich. So there's that aspect of it. This is big business. This is a cash cow, because if it's backed by the government, if it's lauded by the Center for Disease Cheerleading, if it's the flag of terror is waved by the WHO, this is a pandemic. Run for your lives. Oh, nice save there in the Ranger game. You're basically in a position where you have to sort of make decisions based on half the information. Your side of the coin, as we did a little somatic for you here, is what we want to talk about now. So all of this vaccine renaissance has led to a lot of, the drug companies taking a good close look at this is golden in their heels for them. So, you've seen vaccines been rolled out. They've been changing the schedules. And the puppets that come out and say, oh, all the vaccines are safe, that they have no clue. It's great. I mean, it's great for them. But look at what this disease really did. This thing didn't even have the bite of the seasonal flu. Seasonal flu was supposed to be, the one that was going to be the second, wave of this thing, and it never happened. It's very strange how all this stuff went down, and nobody really noticed, But, again, we are in flu season. They labeled this, all right? Now, a couple of weeks ago, they said it had passed, so that's another thing. So we can look at that for a minute. Get my friend Matt McCoy up here. Let's see if he has... His article is right here. And his situation, the people don't know Dr. McCoy, he is the editor-in-chief of Journal for Vertebral Subluxation Research, JVSR.com. And he's looking at it from a pediatric standpoint, a healthcare standpoint, and not so much the allopathic business model, which is what we've been really under the thumb of for lo these many months. So you've got a situation, he says it in his opening paragraph here on his research update that I think was posted recently. He says, it's official and I'm declaring it, the 2009 swine flu pandemic is a bona fide fiasco. A fiasco is a complete failure, an ignominious, humiliating, and disgraceful failure. You fail, sir. All the evidence that this is demonstrated that from the government to the public health to the pharmaceutical industry, nothing panned out the way they predicted it. Now, check this out. There's a report he cites here that was published, looks like a couple weeks ago, actually. The severity of pandemic H1N1 influenza in the United States from April to July, a Bayesian analysis. Okay? It's published in PubMed. If you want the link, bother me. So according to these researchers, which include scientists from Harvard, UK medical research people, and, of course, Center for Disease Cheerleading, and prevention, a little thing under the bottom there, they slipped that in. H1N1 swine flu won't be as severe as was feared, and when the fall and winter wave is over, it will have no more severe than the average flu season. In fact, according to the researchers, the good news is the severity of H1N1 will be less than initially feared. This is their spokespeople, their researchers. Yet, are they taking those doses off the shelf? Are they stopping the parade of scaring everybody about the flu? No, of course not. Let's not forget that the White House predicted as many 90,000 would die, and such dire predictions set the stage rolling back all sorts of civil liberties with the spending of billions of dollars of taxpayer money that went directly into the pockets of the drug companies, like I just documented, that were absolved of any risk from adverse reactions. They gave a little waiver. And you think this is going to influence what eventually we're going to get out of a healthcare reform, all right? Now, this is the power play we're going to see over and over again, because they can always point to another bug under the rug and say, we'll protect you, here's the vaccine. But they didn't mandate. Remember the New York State? They didn't make the nurses and healthcare workers get immunized. They decided that couldn't, because why? Well, once you make it a law, it's kind of in the books, and you are liable. So they made this scare tactic sort of their marketing thing and thought that would get enough people to go through with it. So basically, you have a situation now, looking back, that this is where they kind of all went wrong. Is that, look at all these things that they did. We're now getting first reports of adverse reactions. Of course, there have been multiple reports. Maybe we documented the woman down in Washington, D.C. that ended up with a neurological condition from the seasonal flu shot, so you can check that out. There's so many of these stories coming up, anaphylactic reactions, neurological disorders, and all this is just flushed under the rug. We don't care about it. So the CDC and the FDA staff members searched this database to identify all U.S. reports of adverse events for 2009. 10 seasonal flu vaccines during July to November. Right, 30 out of the 3,700 or so, almost 3,800 reports of adverse events through November 24th, 204 were categorized as serious. 4,600 were after the seasonal flu shots were received. So now we've got people combining the two flu shots, and there's no way to predict how that's going to go down. You know, this is all very confusing, and it's all been really kind of sad, if you ask me. Adding to the evidence that H1N1 fears were overblown could be a report published by New England Journal of Medicine showing that the virus in China, the majority of those affected had mild illnesses. These are all self-limiting conditions, guys. The flu is not the enemy, all right? Now, they didn't tell you how to boost up your immune system. They didn't tell you to deal with the fear of the flu. Back, I guess it was in October, right before, in Oinktober, right before I, you know, we got into this a little bit with the vaccines. I went and gave a talk at my daughter's school about it, and the kids were just as afraid of the flu as they were of the vaccine. So, bizarre world. Absolute bizarre world. And I don't know what we do to fix it at this point. I mean, how we correct it, how we get people to understand what their immune system really consists of. And one of the things that I tried to get across from the Soma side of the coin is if you move and you have good phasic muscle coordination, you're not going to have inflammation, you're not going to have stasis in your system, your organs are going to be well supported because the lymphatics are going to drain, and your body's going to be able to flush things out of the system. It's very simple. I mean, there's nothing radical here. And I hate getting all clinical with you on a Wednesday night, but that's exactly what you need to do. And what they preach and what they tell you mostly is what? Bed rest, fluids, right? And that's actually one of the things that, going forward through the winter, that lays the groundwork for pneumonia, which is going to be the next thing they're going to talk about. All right, so we go from the flu season, which really kind of ends, and then we get into the next wave of it, which now we start dealing with complications of the flu. And you're going to start seeing that. And then, and these adverse reactions that people have already had. Then you load in the holiday stress, and you load in all the other stuff. And you've got all this, you know, chemical and biological noise coming through your body. And then if you put a little fear on top of it, how do you think your system is going to function? Eh, there you go. So anyone had a comment on that, we'll get you in. 646-478-4847. That's 646-478-4847. Chat room's open. Like I said, any flu stories, any survivors out there, definitely want to see your contributions tonight because, like I said, I want to break this thing down for you. Now, putting this whole flu thing on the ground for a second, I want to go take you a little bit over to somaspace.org. I'm revamping, as I've been revamping and revamping. I want to give you guys a little skill, a little thing that you can look at, because tonight is the new moon. The new moon. We had the Blue Christmas, and we have the new moon. On the new moon, we are finishing a phase of somatic integration that is called exosomatic, which really roughly means outside the soma. So we have been functioning in a state of suspicion. We have been functioning in a state of sort of depersonalized, impersonal sense of coherence. And what you notice is that the mood out there in the last week or so has been pretty paranoid. All right. Now, tomorrow we start up the trail to another lunar cycle, and we go philo. So we go from having an impersonal sense of our clarity to having an interpersonal sense, right in time for the little Christmas shopping. So if you notice the mood shift around, you know, Saturday or Sunday, when we get in the middle of that phase, this is when a lot of immune systems are going to start kicking in. Now, timing as it is, Monday is the solstice. We start the lunar cycle. Today's a new moon, and then Monday is the winter solstice. So this is another indicator. We just had that first frost last week. All of these external factors are part of the surroundings that the self must relate to. Now, you think those things are remote. Those things, lunar cycles, seasonal cycles, day and night, first frost, all that stuff is much, much more integral to immune function than some bug trying to establish itself in your body. And if you look around, people are draining. Everything's good. If you watch the last couple of days, people have been flat on their butt, and they're going to start rising as we go through this lunar shift the next week or so. So when we join you next week on the 23rd, we'll be going to the peak of that cycle, which actually peaks on Christmas Eve, Philo Eve, as we'll call it. So a lot of interpersonal. So you're going to be able to draw energy from others. You're going to be able to feel much tighter in your social circle. All this stuff's going to be coming up. So I want to give you guys a little heads up on it. I'm working on it tonight, but if you shoot me an email over here, if you're a listener, you're not a client of mine yet, the email address for the show is nakedsoma@gmail.com. Shoot me an email on that. Say, hey, get me on this OVI list, which is of vital interest, and we'll give you a whole bunch of strategies to go forward as we start the winter and start to deal with fear in all of its forms, especially as we transition coming out of the fall, which deals with loss. Now we're going into fear. We're going to be going through vulnerability and a whole bunch of phases as we go forward. All these emotions are collective, guys. It's like I try to explain on the site and definitely to the clients here on the ground here in Larchmont, USA, that emotions and all the affect and all the things that come up around it, you don't get them, they get you. So you don't get angry, angry gets you. And if you understand how the cues come in, how they all have a purpose. It's not a emotion you feel, it's not a sensation that comes up in you that doesn't have a purpose and a meaning. You have to find out what the context of it is. And a lot of times this time of the year, people are dealing a lot with their past. Well, you deal with your past, you deal with a lot of memory, you deal with a lot of things that are deep, things that you don't look at all year long, and people get depressed. All that stuff's coming up between now and the middle of January as we get into the dead of winter. So all that stuff's part of seasonal awareness that we do here at Soma Space, because if you understand those big rhythms that take place over 3 months, and then the smaller ones over a month with the lunar cycles, and then the even smaller ones that undergo during the course of a day, your sleep-wake cycle, and then the even smaller ones that are rest-activity cycles every 2 hours or 90 minutes, and then you go all the way down to what's called the four-second window, which is basically if you feel safe or not in the environment you're in. And if you're experiencing the flu and you're vulnerable and you're weak, believe me, you're building up a lot of incoherence, a lot of resistance, and a lot of loss of self. And those are the things that we want to really cultivate an appreciation of, so that you understand your immune system is not just about dumping chemicals in your bloodstream or shooting yourself up with whatever Big Pharma wants to stick in your body and thinking that's buying you anything, making you bulletproof. As we've seen with the seasonal flu, it actually made people sicker, you know. So we got that going on. So anyway, so that was my little riff on that. Let's see if anybody's here. Okay, so we got a couple more minutes till we get our guest on. Let me take a little sideshow over here. Let's see. Boy, the computer's actually in a decent mood right now. Just want to see if there's anything going on I need to know about. Yeah, you know, like I said, I just got back from the rant. We're talking Mets, talking all kinds of things over there. And the subject came up about injuries and about overcoming them. Now, if you guys know anything about the way your body repairs, it always repairs, you know, from deep to cheap, from the deeper system to the one on the surface. So when you're dealing with, you know, this time of the year, especially when you're dealing with injuries that come up, fall on the ice, things like that, here on the East Coast, your system is going to go into a deprogramming for a while, because we're in that deep repair part of the year after they change the clocks, and it gets cold like this. So the healing response is going to be slower and more specific, because it's working on things that are much, much more subtext, as the Islanders are sticking another one in the net, 2-0. These freaking Rangers. So we were talking about, you know, dealing with in football, especially recovery time is how do you speed that up? And we're getting into some strategies with it. And maybe if you guys call up and we have a couple of examples, I'll give you guys a little more piece of that. But for the most part, if you go over to what I'm trying to say is you go over to somerspace.org and you can check out the site there. Like I said, I'm revamping it. But shoot me an email at nakedsoma@gmail.com and I'll get you on the OVI list. Which we're going to start to formalize this weekend. So that'll give you guys an opportunity to work on your vitality between times we get up here. And I want to start talking about as we go forward. And the next week we're going to do review the first half of the year. And the week after that, on the 30th, we're going to review the second half of the year, going back, looking at some guests, maybe get some of them to call in and chime in, see what they've been doing since we had them on the show, sort of take a bow, you know, for 2009. And go ahead to 2010, where I want to really focus on the strategies that we talk about here in the office, which deal with our friends, the four domains. Now, we have mentioned them a couple times. I'm not going to go through it now. We have no time before our guest gets here. But for the most part, what I'm really trying to get at here is there is a level of awareness and a level of communication that is outside of the normal conversation. It's something that I've been able to hone my skills on for a while. And it's starting to become second nature to talk to other people about it, as I just did over at the Wild Wings there. And when you understand what your primary domain is, how your brain was wired developmentally, how your brain actually organizes information, remembers things, you'll start to understand how when you get into a tough spot, when you lose clarity, when your body goes into a fragmented state, instead of having to go all the way down the mountain and let it reset on its own, you can actually shift gears, shift to another orientation, and find coherence in another part of your nervous system. And that's really what I'm trying to get across. So, feeling a little down, feel a little tired today. I worked hard last night, so my voice sounds a little subdued, so be it. I'll try and perk it up here when we get our guest here in a minute. There's so much in my head I wanted to get to. It's just like, I feel like I just kind of dropped out of the clouds tonight. So, anyway, like I said, we got our guest coming on in about 5 minutes, that he's actually been covering this Ukraine thing, which is absolutely become, to me, the non-story story, that why didn't this thing become a bigger deal? Because it's an example of the WHO and politics in action, because they suppressed that information. And they put out a story that basically said that this outbreak in the Ukraine was another form, a mutated form of H1N1, without the evidence of it. So Ranger's got to go back. There's like a minute left. So maybe we'll go Summercast live here for the next minute or so. And get my blood blowing. So let's see. Get a little action. All right. All right. We're going live to the garden here. A little Ranger Islander action. We kind of chuck one at the net. That's right. As we wait for our friend to call in from Brazil. This is a live Summercast here. The last minute of the Ranger Islander game. See if we can force some overtime here. So I'm gonna try and get the energy cranked up here as we get going here, because get to the winter sports. You know, a couple weeks the football season is gonna go to the playoffs. I'm gonna be stuck watching these Rangers until the Mets come back, and Lord knows that ain't fun. As I go through the winter of my discontent.
Back a bad blue and a broken heart.
So I got the chat room open. If you guys want to chime in. Like I said, any flu stories, anything you got for me, I'd be happy to share, go back and forth, teach you guys how to orient yourselves as we go forward, because this is not going away. We're going to have a whole month and a half of this, to all the way to Groundhog's Day. They'll be talking flu all the way into the spring when they start talking allergies, right? Then the summer, they start talking about sunburn and overexposure and all that stuff. Always, always, always the environment is where the fear is. And you, the self, have no chance against the horrible, abominable snowman out there, whatever they decide it is. All right. Looks like we've got to go silent here. Wow. About 40 seconds to go, and then we'll have our guest. I see he's there, so we'll segue to him in a minute here. Now, let me get his article up while that's going on. Rangers are pumping the puck around. I don't know what they're doing. Yeah, looks like it's going to be iced. All right, so let's see. I got his introduction here from before. And, you know, this is, again, there's been so many kind of off-mainstream reports about this outbreak. The story kind of just kind of goes off the radar. You don't even know what. All right, here's the last 10 seconds here. Oh, hit the side of the net. That's it. Rangers lose. They are amazing. They could lose any game, 2-1, whatever. All right, so here's his article. Let me go snag that while we're getting him into the room here. Let me see. Go over here and get this. Because I stumbled upon his article in looking for information about this particular story, because it was something that was, like I said, wasn't reported. So let's get the submarine going here. And let me see. I got it. There it is. Okay, so joining us tonight from a little town in Brazil you might have heard of, if I can find it here, is Rio Grande do Sul. We have a journalist and researcher, Luis Miranda. He's the editor and writer for the GlobalNewsObserver.com. Began his career back in 96 as a television reporter. He's worked all over the place. He's got a journalism degree from Costa Rica and broadcasting degree from beautiful Montclair State, New Jersey, over here. Wow. His research articles include topics such as global warming, but we might get into that a little bit, geoengineering, good old H1N1, the vaccines, the North American Union, which is another big story that is a non-story, breast cancer. We had that little news about that last week. Globalism and a whole bunch of other stuff. You can read his content over at Associated Content. Read his articles on AssociatedContent.com. So welcome to Summertime, Luis.
Hello.
Are you there?
Thanks for having me. Yes.
Okay, yeah. All right, see if we can speak up a little bit. You're on the Skype, eh?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah, we hear you. We hear you. I was on the Skype last week. It was an adventure for me out there in California. All right, so your article, I guess, was published about, what, about 3 weeks ago, a month ago? About the plague?
That's right. It was about a month ago when most of the information, at least the first information came out regarding regarding this plague in Europe, specifically in the Ukraine.
Yeah. And for those of you not familiar, he basically was trying to make a distinction because WHO came out and said that they thought it was a strain of H1N1. There hasn't been any proof of that. And there was 1.5 million people infected in the Ukraine. At that point, they're only to admit there was 300 deaths. I've heard as many as 6,000 people died. And it's your update on that. This is back on the 28th of November. Your update on that is that you think it's become a little more self-contained in the last 3 weeks or a month?
Yeah, the assumption was back in November that the transmission of the infections was due to a couple of factors, one of them being the density of the population in Kiev and other cities in Ukraine. And the other one was the movement of people from and from other countries into the Ukraine and from Ukraine to other countries so that could help sort of transport the virus in and out. Back then, like you said before, there was an account of only 300 people who had died. But I read articles and reports from other media that have said that as many as 3,000 people have died.
Now that to me, that's a big discrepancy, 300 versus 3,000. Why is this information so hard to come by? Is it because of the election there? Is it because of the fact that there's Russian influence on it and that the fact that there was some implication with Baxter Labs, with Cold War, you know, biological weapons, with the Yersinia pestis? What is the smoking gun that's caused this story to go underground?
There are a lot of points that you can address this from. First of all, and probably the most important, is that the Ukraine government hasn't been forthcoming with information except to the World Health Organization and to some degree to the CDC in the U.S. In fact, some of the high ups in those organizations have actually come out and said that the Ukraine government has been very forthcoming with them.
Mm-hmm.
However, not with anybody else. You know, so the details from the government of Ukraine to the mass media and to anyone who wants to know anything about it are very sketchy, and they have been reserved basically to health agencies. And then they simply ask us to trust them, to trust their figures, to trust their reports, and the truth is that we cannot do that. we have been proved that these agencies are not reliable as far as the public getting the information, the right information, the real information. So the other point from where we can see this is. From the political point, as you mentioned, the president of Ukraine was and is still in a little battle for survival over there. And people on the street were asked several times, and they said they didn't trust the government to carry out any kind of healthcare campaign, that they had been caught many times lying to them, and so they didn't have any trust at all on the president or anybody else in the government. So. Those are two key points that you can see the situation from.
Yeah, and again, this is one of these things where, because we're dealing with a global pandemic of H1N1, it's almost like the borders have been collapsed between countries. So when you have a news blackout like this, where nobody in the mainstream media is even remotely giving this even lip service, very dismissive. I mean, almost as if it's like it's not happening in, you know, North America or Western Europe, so who cares? But when you start dealing with the implications of Baxter Labs, and they're a big manufacturer of vaccines, they're a big manufacturer of H1N1 vaccines, actually, and they're right there in the Ukraine. So exactly when will this story become frontline news in the next, you know, 2 or 3 months as we progress through the winter here in the States, and people are looking for answers to things? Because if an outbreak like this, I mean, again, you guys got to realize this ain't no sniffles. This isn't no, you know, no runny nose. These are lungs burning. These are people basically, you know, succumbing in days or you know, to this thing, much like as you documented back in the 1918 Spanish flu, which killed millions of people. And this is a pneumonic fever. It's a very high fever. Your lung temperature gets up to about 135 degrees. Your lungs look like charcoal when you die, when you're done with this. And it's a plague. You know, and I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, we were going back and forth, and you discovered that one of the things that they posted on the web, this is, again, an example of how Big Pharma works ahead of itself. They posted an old instructional sort of like educational video that was sponsored by Pfizer about this biological weapon related to Yersinia pestis, which I thought was really funny. So here's a drug company that is going to get paid all this money, all these subsidies from the government, to go out and create a vaccine, and then they have the disease right there in their lab. And then, like you have reports here about hundreds of residents in Kiev complained the neighborhoods are surrounding were sprayed by planes and left dozens of chemtrails in the sky. Now, this has always been one of those, you know, conspiracy theories, oh, the chemtrails are trying to kill us. But here's another situation where, you know, the local newspapers reported it too, and it never spread. It never spread on the web. I've seen people have their YouTube videos, the local citizens have their YouTube videos, you know, taken down off the web. So are we really in an era of sort of digital censorship where there's been a suppression of this because of the money at stake with Big Pharma and organizations like WHO, CDC, FDA?
I think to talk a little bit about the pharmaceutical companies, what I know at least from my research is that, in fact, like you mentioned, Baxter and other companies have headquarters over there in Ukraine and several other countries in Europe, in Poland, in the Czech Republic. And prior to this plague appear, it has been confirmed, documented that Baxter conducted several tests with people in Poland and in the Ukraine a few months before the plague appeared. And it's very mysterious that suddenly after those experiments, which, by the way, caused the life of hundreds of people because they were injected with something that simply killed them, then suddenly something appears in the Ukraine that is killing, you know, thousands of people and getting millions sick. You know, hospitals flooded with, I believe it was 160,000 people or so. Infected with this plague, and I think you know, many of them made it out of the hospitals. I think about 124,000 actually from the total of 160 were released from the hospitals. But it's definitely there's definitely a trace of involvement from Baxter at the very least. In fact, some of the doctors that performed these experiments in Poland, for example, were detained, were accused, and the only problem with that is that the company wasn't sued. Nothing happened really to the company except that the doctors were working for them, and so they were the ones who took the blame. But nothing happened to the company. No accusations came forward.
Doesn't this smack of a little bit of a graft here? Because as we documented in the States, you know, when they commissioned all these companies to make the vaccines, they gave them basically almost like in an odd sense immunity for any adverse reactions. They say, hey, it's a pandemic. We're gonna lower our restrictions just so you guys can produce the vials here. So don't worry about, you know, sticking to your standards or anything. If anything happens, no big deal. No, no penalties for you. Doesn't this really just smack of a lot of the things, and I don't know if you're tracking a lot of the healthcare legislation and all the debates that have been going on the last 2 or 3 months here, but doesn't it just really point out who's really running the show here? Isn't it really just Big Pharma has such a huge control over what's going to happen with legislation and the way these things are going to be moving through Congress, that we're really up against a huge force of lobbyists and a lot of leveraged money where, just like the banking industry, it's so corrupt, it's so pervasive, it's so basically, you know, it is a giant monster. How do we as citizens protect our individual rights? How do we mobilize? How do we communicate when something as significant as what you're saying goes unreported?
I think that the best thing people can do is educate themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is not only in the United States. I lived there for the past 10 years, and now I moved to Brazil. But not only in the U.S., but everywhere else, there's like a mass media dependency. So, you know, when you discover things on the internet or in alternative media, somehow it loses its validity because it's not, you know, Fox or CNN or any other New York Times or the UK Mail that is reporting it. And you gotta remember that the same way the pharmaceutical companies and the banks have great influence in what the government does, in what Congress does, you also have the media companies are also controlled by corporations, which in many cases are related to banks and to pharmaceutical companies. They form big conglomerates of organizations that have a lot of influence in what Congress passes as laws and what the president does. I remember I was listening to the show before coming on, and you mentioned the word puppets, I believe, and that's a great way of defining what many people in the government are. They are front people, they are front men, who basically take the blame for things like pandemics or for wrongdoings of pharmaceutical companies, which, by the way, people cannot sue because they have immunity. And so,
right.
if you get sick because of a vaccine, whoever ends paying you know, the lawsuit, if you ever beat them in court, is the U.S. government. And guess who? Where the U.S. government gets the money to pay you when you get hurt? That is taxpayers' money. So the government is using taxpayers' money to finance the wrongdoings or pharmaceutical companies, while they you know, give them immunity. So none of their doctors or laboratories that produce the vaccines can be sued or can be tried anywhere for no reason whatsoever.
So are we living in an age of a banana republic in the sense that we have no recourse as individuals? Because, as you say, the government is not really there to protect us from adverse drug reactions or unresearched, unscientific vaccines or anything that happens to us as a combination of those things. Where are, you know, the true reporters like yourself, where are they? Where are the investigative reporters exposing this? Is it that they have no mainstream way of publishing it, that it has to be, you know, leaked out through the clouds like it is now, or tweeted or something like that? Are we really living in an age of you know, Big Pharma censorship?
I think this happens in the mainstream media mainly, where you have at least two kinds of censorship. You have
okay.
the censorship that comes from
you
high
heard
hope.
It here. Yeah, so you do agree. As a journalist, you feel like that some of these stories do not get moved into the limelight because there is a big, sort of a faucet on the news that the sponsors of the news and the people that buy all the advertising time, if you're going to make them look bad, you're not going to get the airtime.
Absolutely. I mean, you know that some of the biggest companies that are sponsors of you know, CNN or Fox or whatever, are pharmaceutical companies. I mean, if you sit down on your couch for 1 hour to watch any of these news networks, and you're gonna discover who are the owners of the news business, because like you said, they are the ones who sponsor the shows,
yeah,
who sponsor the TV personalities. So, of course, there's going to be censorship. Nobody's going to allow any news media, any mainstream news media, to come out and say that Baxter, carried out experiments in Poland where they killed hundreds of people, because then Baxter is not going to pay any money to CNN or whoever says it. But the other kind that of censorship that I wanted to talk about, besides the one that comes from high up, is self-censorship. You not only have people telling journalists what to do and what to present, you also have journalists censoring themselves not to bring important news to the public. And that may be for different reasons, maybe fear, maybe to lose their jobs, maybe
right.
Someone who doesn't feel that they know enough to talk about it. A whole series of things could be the reasons for that. But definitely, for a person to look for objective, well-researched information, I think at this point in time, you gotta look for alternative media to do that. I don't think people can trust mainstream media anymore.
So why don't we just skip the middleman? Why don't we just get TMZ on the case? Because they seem to find everyone that's been sleeping with Tiger all over the planet. And we just get TMZ and say, hey, point your cameras and all your, because they have investigative reporters. Heck, they knew when Michael Jackson was dead before Michael Jackson knew he was dead. So
yes.
We just get TMZ, and it's so funny because they used to dismiss the tabloids and dismiss these gossip rags. That's not real reporting. When they're breaking stories faster than any of these people are, and they're usually the first place I go anytime there's controversy, because just like Smoking Gun and some of the other sites on the web, they've become the speed merchants, as it becomes, they're not, like you said, they're not held to this journalistic standard. Well, the journalistic standard is gone. If you're telling me reporters are withholding news to keep their jobs, stations are withholding news because there's lobby, money and sponsor money that doesn't allow them to broadcast things, and politicians are basically just puppets, we don't have anyone in the traditional sense that can be honest with us anymore because they're paid and they're rewarded not to be. So, when you see these things happen, it's just an internet story. Well, that's the last place that we have left to get any kind of information across. It's actually kind of sad that this is where we're at. I don't know what comes next.
This is not something that is new.
It's been progressing, but when
right.
things like this happen, I mean, you probably go back as far as when the tryptophan case happened in the 80s, right? Remember that tryptophan case, the one batch of tryptophan that killed, four people? And the FDA went absolutely batshit, and they banned tryptophan, a freaking amino acid that helps people sleep and things like that. But they'll give all kinds of credibility, to drug after drug after drug that results in lawsuits, whether it's Vioxx or Fen-Phen, whatever you want to name. It just boggles my mind. So here I'm looking at
go ahead.
No, I went over to another guy that my health ranger guy here, Mike Adams here, who is always in trouble.
Yes.
He's actually down by Mike, right? He's down your way.
Yeah, I met him at a conference last year, and he does.
Okay.
He's spending most of his time here in Ecuador, which is not close by, but it's close.
Well, he's on your continent anyway. He actually is using a lot of this, the Health Ranger, if you guys don't know him, from naturalnews.com. He uses a lot of the fodder that comes out of this stuff as to lampoon the industry. And it's funny because he's breaking stories, that are urban legend almost at this point. That it's funny how all the truth comes out. Like I said, this is the TMZ era. We went through the YouTube era. We went through all that stuff. Now it's TMZ. Now it's a gossip media. And wherever you can gossip, out-gossip, you're going to get credibility. So he has a story here that was posted, I guess, a couple days ago. It's popping up now as we speak here on the 15th. This is, again, down in Atlanta where the CDC is. I love the CDC when they make news. Health officials are recalling hundreds of thousands of doses of swine flu vaccine after tests indicated they may not be potent enough to protect against the virus. 800,000 doses. But the check was cashed. I guarantee the check was cashed by the manufacturer. Okay? So
you
health officials
have to realize
how many have been given. Yeah.
You have to realize something regarding, first of all, regarding the flu. And this is true for seasonal flu, and it's true also for H1N1 flu. The only way a flu vaccine is effective on would help a person to combat and defeat a virus is if it's produced, if it's made with the season's strain of the virus. In other words, if you produce vaccines with last season's strain of the seasonal flu or the H1N1 flu, it's not going to help you.
Right.
And on top of that, Mark, you have to also realize that, like you said at the beginning of the show, this is something that very close to being mainly a business. I mean, pharmaceutical companies are not in for bringing health to people. They are there to produce drugs that they can then sell to governments and companies and make a profit out of it for the shareholders. So.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody, in the pharmaceutical business is going to come out and say that these vaccines don't want to help you because it's made with the strain from last year. They simply want to, create a vaccine, sell it, and make a profit out of it. So one doesn't have to be, surprised or shocked when they come and recall vaccines because they are causing side effects on people. Because on top of being there for the companies being there for making a profit, remember that they have no reason to be accountable, neither to the government and much less to the public. You know, they don't have any obligation because they are immune to lawsuits and any kind of inquiry.
Now we're dealing with, like I said, with the second wave of this now because they've done all they can with the vaccine, which is supposed to prevent you from getting it. But now once you get it, their primary way of treating it has been this Tamiflu. Now, Mike again reported this week on the 14th here, Tamiflu antiviral drug revealed as complete hoax. Roche studies based on scientific fraud. Again, this is big news. The biggest thing that they're out there pumping out into people's veins once they get diagnosed with flu. Are you still there, Luis?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. Is this Tamiflu? All right, now Tamiflu, it's not an herb, okay? This is not a friendly drug. And this thing is another multi-billion-dollar market for a drug because now everyone that didn't get vaccinated that comes down with the flu, seasonal or otherwise, is going to get this stuff pumped into their veins. And the hospitals love it, but basically it's based on a lot of garbage. And it's a drug derived from the traditional Chinese herb called star anise, right? So this is a groundbreaking article, a British medical journal. Accuses the company Roche of misleading the governments and physicians over the benefits of Tamiflu. 10 studies cited by this company Roche, turns out only 2 of them were ever published in journals, and the original data was from these 2 studies were lost. Could you imagine if they were accountable to any of this? And how many people have been exposed to this drug? And what's their recourse? Where do they go if they have a reaction to a drug that? This company, they didn't even research properly. They just pushed it out there because they got money.
One of the things that is more amazing is that not only are they not accountable to anybody, the fact that, for example, the risk groups, which they call, for example, children, young children, mothers are pregnant.
Yeah.
Those are the groups that they have been recommending to get vaccinated the most. And I happen to have the inserts of the H1N1 vaccine from 3 different pharmaceutical companies. And in all of them, they admit that they haven't conducted any research. They haven't tested the vaccine in labs to determine what the reactions are going to be in exactly those very same groups. So in other words, they are telling the population to vaccinate their kids and to the pregnant mothers to get the vaccine, but they haven't conducted any research to determine if there are going to be any negative side effects. So that to me it's ludicrous, it's outrageous, and I can't believe that there are still people out there who believe that vaccines are good for you
right.
And that you should take all the vaccines they tell you to take.
And that's here in the States. Now, listen to this that Mike posted on his site about, of course, they call it Tamifoolery, what's going on in the Ukraine here. This is a story that they posted on YouTube. It was actually on the news over there.
Governments are now
give a little taste of this.
Wasted billions of dollars stockpiling a flu drug that doesn't work. A study published in the British Medical Journal found no evidence that the drug Tamiflu lowers the risk of complications. Dr. Fiona Godley, editor-in-chief of the BMJ, says this case shows that the entire system of evaluating drugs needs radical reform.
The research shows two main things. One is that the drug seems to be less effective, or we have evidence that it is less effective than was previously thought, and that it doesn't seem to be clearly effective in reducing complications in healthy adults. But it also shows that the data available for evaluating drugs generally is inadequate, because drug companies hold on to data which should be more publicly available. So I think we do need to have a radical rethink of the way in which drugs are evaluated and the data are made available. The fact that this particular case has required detective work by journalists and academics with limited resources suggests that the current system really isn't working.
Yeah, no kidding, lady. So again, this is, like I said, you have to get the TMZ on these people, because that's the only way they're going to react, is to shame them. There's no penalty. There's no fiscal responsibility. There's not even an accountability to the people that gave them the money. The government, the CDC, was fooled by these people. So we're in an era now. We're dealing with just a bunch of people that are playing us like fiddles. And the public has a lot of trust in allopathic intervention, that old white coat. They know better than us. And then when you have the mainstream media just either underreporting or not reporting or slanting the story so that you can't make an objective decision, you know, this is what you get. You're going to get a lot of this fallout. So if you got the flu, if you didn't get the vaccine or you got the vaccine and you came down with the flu, which every year everybody goes through this, what would you advise them to do? I mean, I know Mike has his advice, the vitamin D, and I've advised my clients the elderberry syrup, all the basic things. But as far as information, where would you send people on the web to get reliable information to do it, so that if they have a loved one that's over the holidays that they're going to be traveling to see, or they're going to come in contact with, where would you send them to go to get reliable information about this?
I think it's something that you mentioned before I came on is very important. People need to understand the body's immune system is almost capable of fighting any virus, any bacteria, naturally. You don't need vaccines. Vaccines are artificial ways of allegedly pumping up your immune system. But you don't need, your body doesn't need vaccines. Like you said, Mike, Adams usually suggests vitamin D, which is very easy to take. You don't even have to buy it. You just have to expose yourself to 10 minutes or so of sunlight every day.
Right.
So
you guys got spring down here, though. You guys are getting better sun than us these days.
We are getting into the summer now. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. The key to all this is not even about vaccines. The key to all this is make sure you have a strong immune system. You need to boost your immune system if you don't have a strong immune system. One of the ways to do it is with vitamin D. Another way to do it is through organic oregano oil, which I use. I've been taking it for the past 6 months, and along with the vitamin D. So the important thing people need to understand is that they don't need any drugs from pharmaceutical companies to be healthy. All they need is to have a strong immune system. And there are plenty of sources where you can go online, reputable sources where you can go and find natural ways, natural herbs, natural
remedies. Well, we mentioned the elderberry. We mentioned that, and I talk about arabinogalactin, which is something that Dr. Giudamo turned me on to, which is another thing that helps immune support. But right. I mentioned before, the way you breathe and the way you move is much, much more of an influence on your immune function than any other stuff you can
Absolutely.
Toss in your bloodstream. And those are things
Absolutely.
That are, again, underreported, not emphasized, and also dismissed, by the way, by most of the mainstream the media and the mainstream healthcare system. So taking a little left turn here, because this stuff kind of ties in, and you talk about it in your articles as well, the conference that's winding down over there in Copenhagen, and we're dealing with healthcare crisis here. As going forward, when you create a political engine out of environmentalism, when you have every bug and every danger and everything that could harm humanity out in the environment, and yet we're taught to be very green, almost to the point where it's become messianic. The more green you are, the more closer you are to God, in a way. It's very strange.
Right.
What do you make of the tone that the mainstream and the Beltway has put on ClimateGate? They seem to have made it as if you're a fool if you think any of those emails that came out about the ClimateGate over the last 13 years meant anything. It was all out of context. It was all blown out of proportion. When you've got whole paragraphs in there of these guys trashing studies, very similar, by the way, to the stuff we just talked about with Tamiflu, cooking the books because scientists are paid by governments. It's a politicized environment, to say the least. And why not? If there's no penalty, no one's going to check. No, there's no objective way, no accountability. You've got a drug on the market that wasn't even published in journals. You've got a vaccine that wasn't properly vetted. You've got a whole bunch of things going on that are not above board. Why would we not extend that to the climatologists and the climate science people when they're part of the same parade?
Well, people have to understand also one thing. There is a way in which I call globalists, because basically bankers, people in the pharmaceutical business, and so on, are globalists, and they have a very particular way of making their way into your head and people's head, and that is creating a problem, offering a solution, making a profit, and while they do that, getting rid of a bunch of people. So the ClimateGate issue is very clear. It's another example of that, where you have scientists cooking the books, hiding information, replacing it with made up information. I happen to have, and I think a lot of people do now, the emails and the documents.
Oh, you have them?
Okay. Yes, I do. And I have read, plenty of information already. I haven't read it all, but I've read plenty of information that suggests that, in fact, they were making up information, injecting it into the models to make it look as if the planet was really warming more than it actually was for the past 10 years, and there's nothing that they can say. They can fix this with, because the evidence is there. You just have to go and read it, and they can come out with Al Gore or whoever they wanna bring out and say that is misinterpreted. But there's one thing that they cannot tell people that has been misinterpreted, and that's the computer codes which they use to create the climatic models. Which are right there, and anybody who knows about computer programming and computer codes can go and look it up and know that the models were manipulated with false information or with information that was purposely not put into the models to reflect the actual trend of the planet, which by the way now is cooling, is not warming. And he's going to be cooling for.
So we're going to have an ice age movement in a couple of years. They're going to be like, "Oh no, it's cooling." We talked about this before on the show.
It's very funny to hear people talking about global warming and climate change, because most of the environmentalists who have made this their religion, they just simply use global warming and climate change as if they were the same, and they are not, obviously. And Some things that people don't realize is that climate always changes, and it always changed in the past before humans existed, and is going to continue to change while we exist and even after we don't exist anymore. And there is nothing or very little that we can do about that, because we don't have the power as humans. We don't have the power to change what the sun may do regarding our climate. As he has been found out, reported by scientists that the sun is the one that drives the climate, not human emissions. So I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, disinformation, especially from the government, from government agencies, and you know, it's up to all of us, to each of us, to make ourselves our own, you know, sources of information, our own sources of, you know, make decisions by ourselves as far as what we eat, as far as what we put in our bodies, and of course, as far as information related to things like global warming and other topics like, you know, the wars and all that, those things that usually mainstream media misinform the public about.
So in addition to Christmas shopping, tracking Tiger's women, and figuring out what how we're going to, you know, pay our bills, we have to construct our own healthcare information channel and figure out how to take care of ourselves, because the government is either trying to kill us with poorly researched meds or poorly vetted vaccines or both, or they're sponsoring big pharma companies that are creating bioweapons and dragging chemtrails over Eastern Europe. So that sums it up. Everyone feels safe? And then, of course, when they're not doing that, they're cooking the books to make the environmental laws go through. So I'm not sure. I haven't checked it out yet. I'm going to do this while I'm talking to you, to see if we've signed that cap and trade treaty yet. That should be going down the end of the week here. We got 800,000 doses of ineffective vaccines in Atlanta. I don't know what else could happen today. I mean, it's Rangers lost to the Islanders. I mean, there's enough things going on. The Giants have a good game. Yeah.
I hope that the developing countries are gonna keep standing up to the globalists who want to implant this carbon tax scheme on the rest.
Yeah, that's the thing. Give us a little riff on that, because you've been on this story for weeks. Is that it isn't so much about, you know, the green jobs and the green economy and all the happy stuff that they talk about. Talk about this carbon tax, because that's real, and if they put that through, that's going to have a direct effect on the economy next year.
Well, basically, what the developing countries have been shocked about is that they were starting the negotiations on the Copenhagen Treaty based on the Kyoto Protocol, which was signed months ago, and now suddenly a group within the conference within the treaty decided that they were going to come up with a new document, which has been circulating, which I also have read, called the Danish Text, where they basically say to the developing countries that they no longer are going to receive the promised money that they were supposed to receive from rich nations, and that they are going to have to cut their emissions twice as much as the developing nations. And so a bunch of countries, you know, stood up and left the negotiations, and I understand that today they came back and sat on the table to continue the conference. But that was definitely a shocker for them, because they realized, they found out what is really behind all this, Treaty of Copenhagen, which is, by my research, is simply the imposition of a global tax on emissions, which, by the way, don't even cause global warming or climate change, and it's basically to maintain the third world countries or developing countries underdeveloped as they are now, and probably even digging deeper into the mud, while the rich nations, and I'm not blaming the rich nations, but the globalists that control them, the bankers that control them, are going to have the power to continue, emitting the gases that they say are causing global warming. So that's that was a shocker, in the, you know, at the beginning of the week, and I hope they can keep their cool and not fall at the feet of the globalists and you know, basically approve this treaty. I hope it doesn't happen.
Well, again, this is something that's happening as we speak. News as we speak here, because they had protesters there today trying to disrupt the conference. Demonstrators set out in a suburb of Copenhagen, and about 1,000 people were there. And I'm not sure what the heck they were protesting, but it looks like they don't want that treaty signed. And it just seems like, again, this is another situation where the politics and the money and all this control is superseding the will of the people. And it just seems like we have lost our ability to have a voice here. Over and over again, it seems to come up on every front, whether it's healthcare, whether it's the economy, whether it's political stuff like this. And our information sources are not reliable anymore. We have to go and as you say, almost become our own screener to say who got that from where, how does this fit together. And it's going to come down to latching on to people like yourself and following stories, because it is the TMZ culture now to get inside the curtain, the veil here, that's been cast over the news, and be able to expose these things like we talked about in Atlanta with these doses that aren't effective, or the case down in Washington, D.C., where the young girl was stricken with a neurological disorder as a result of taking the seasonal flu shot.
Which, by the way, have been more than the ones have been reported. If you look into the mainstream media reports about adverse effects, I mean, you could probably think that you can count them with the fingers of your hand, but in reality have been much greater.
Those are the ones that have gotten through the fence. We have no idea what's still laying in the dirt that they've been stepping on. So here's UN Secretary on Tuesday. He says that the Copenhagen talk to create this treaty as early as possible in 2010, our goal is to lay the foundation for a legally binding climate treaty as early as possible in 2010. The stronger the agreement in Copenhagen, the sooner it's transformed to a legally binding treaty. That is scary. They're fast-tracking all these things, and it says the time for delay and blame is over. Meanwhile, you have climate hanging over it. I don't know what's delaying and blaming anything over there, because they're saying that divisions develop between developing nations, like you're talking about, over greenhouse gas emission reduction targets and financing, we're eroding chances of such a deal. So, you it's another one of these have and have-not situations where the haves are putting really, really strict constraints on the have-nots and almost penalizing them for not upholding a standard that has nothing to do with the climate, everything to do with money, and everything to do with the distribution of that money.
What I always ask people who think the carbon tax is a great idea is how does charging a global tax on emissions going to help save the environment? And nobody has given me an answer to that yet. Because in reality, what this tax is going to do is finance the creation of supranational organizations like the Climate Fund, which is explicitly related in the Danish text and in the Copenhagen Treaty,
right.
You know, which is going to be the organization in charge of assigned aid, economic, financial aid to countries, who is going to be demanding countries reduce emissions, and if you don't go with it, like you said, it's going to be a legally binding contract or a legally binding agreement, and if
so
the nations
don't
like it.
This is what's right. Kind of scary to me. Who has jurisdiction of this? This is a global treaty. Are we headed towards a world government type of a jurisdiction on these things, where it's sort of like a NATO thing or UN thing, where there's going to be sanctions against countries, and we're going to be looking at countries that are going to be excluded from getting resources and being, you know, like I said, what is going to be the jurisdiction? Who's going to be the judge, jury, and executioner?
That's the problem. I mean, you're going to have a bunch of unelected people telling the countries what to do,
okay.
And not even the UN, because in the very own Treaty of Copenhagen and the Danish text says that the phase in which the UN was the main driver of this type of policies is going to end. So all the power is going to be given to the Climate Fund, to the World Bank, to conduct financial policy, and the Climate Fund to conduct environmental policy, and the governments are no longer going to be sovereign. They're going to be have to abide by this kind of agreements and treaties, which, by the way, I was going to say before, they cannot come out of according to the documents I read from the Danish text and the Copenhagen Treaty, the only way that a government or a country can come out of these treaties is by 100% agreement of all the other members. So if one of the members votes no, you are out of luck. You got to remain as part of these treaties. Who knows until when? Until you simply cannot come out of them, according to what I read in the documents. So I don't think anybody in any country in the world wants to abide by a treaty that wasn't written or agreed by their elected officials, but by a bunch of people that came on as representatives from corporations who wrote these kind of agreements and who are now mandating the countries to accept them, to sign them, and to abide by them to save the planet, which is, of course, nonsense.
So again, in summary here, you've been tracking all these stories. They're almost, like I said, people think they're separate stories. But as we've seen how drug companies bind into politics, bind into healthcare policy, bind into the way this pandemic has been politicized, and how all of that relates to the overarching theme of environmentalism that's swept over internationally. Because again, this is another example of how sort of follow the money has taken place on all three levels here with respect to economy, healthcare, and legislation. So I guess going back to square one here, what is the number one misconception about H1N1 and the vaccine, both the virus and the vaccine, that you'd like to clear up for the listeners as we wind down here on Summertime?
Well, first of all, that like you commented at the beginning of the show, the H1N1 hasn't been what it was advertised to be. We were told that thousands of people were going to die. I mean,
90,000.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened the way they told us.
There was a
strong campaign to have people vaccinate themselves as soon as the vaccines were made available.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people read information that helped them make an educated decision, and most people didn't go for the vaccinations. So that's what people have to do. They gotta stop listening to the CDC. They have to stop listening to the WHO. They have to stop listening to the media, who tell us the government loves you and they want the best for you.
The government loves you.
Come on and get your vaccinations. And from the point of the vaccines, people need to be aware of something. Vaccines. And there are no good vaccines. Some of them, like the H1N1, have live viruses in them, which you're gonna get injected when you go and take it, and that of course is gonna create a bunch of health problems, neurological problems like Guillain-Barré syndrome. In some cases, in the past, it caused like in the 1970s with the first round of H1N1.
Oh, yeah, well, we're not there yet. Again, 30 years ago when they got a lot of people to take this, basically, again, an unvetted, unqualified vaccine, we had people getting paralyzed. And
that's right.
Guillain-Barré syndrome. So, again, that's the swine fear. There's the swine flu, and then there's the swine fear. And as we've seen here with Louise and the articles, things we discussed, a lot of times just finding some information out and not so much trying to bring it to the attention of the people that have been lying to you, but just keep it in your circle, spread it through your own social media circle, and the best remedy for all this stuff is to do one thing: drop off their grid. Do not participate. Do not rely on them for information. Do not give them your trust. Do not give them your attention. Do not listen to their fear-mongering, because that's all they're trying to do. Promote your own health, your own well-being. Understand how the body works. Understand how your system functions. Optimize your well-being. Stop trying to dodge the bullets, because I'm telling you, they got more bullets than you got moves in terms of ways to get to you and put that fear in you, whether it's at work, whether it's economic pressure, whether it's political pressure, whether it's suppression of the news, whether it's threatening reporters' jobs. We've covered about 10 sources of how to do it. And again, I would tell everybody right now to go to the TMZ website, with everything you just heard here and feed it to them and sick them dogs on these sons of bitches, because as Batman reminds us every week, we have to find out who are... Come on, Batman.
You filthy criminies.
That's right. So, you know, and again, Luis, thanks for your reporting. It's been great stuff having you on the show, and you're a great resource. Hopefully we'll have you back on if this treaty ever gets done in early 2010 to talk about some of the implications of what we're going to do when that wall goes down and how we're going to govern ourselves then. So keep the great reporting up, and thanks for joining us here on Summertime. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Have a good holiday.
No problem, man. Take care. Travel light. All right, Luis Miranda reporting from Brazil, where his soccer team is favored to win the World Cup, I believe. He goes away. And, you know, like I said, we covered a lot of this stuff all year. We had so many people on the show. We're going to start getting into that next 2 weeks. We're going to do two-part year in review. Next week, first half of the year. Second week, on the 30th, we'll review the second part of the year, the second half of the year from July to now, where we had a lot of these swine flu guests on all over the country. We had Barbara Fish on. We had... We had our friend Dimas out there in California, who still hasn't worn his cat suit yet. I'm waiting for that. He's across the street where they're giving out the vaccines, and he was supposed to have someone wear a cat suit to say if you get a swine flu shot, you're a pussy. So there you go. Again, we're getting into that mindset now where this is take care of yourself time. They're not taking care of you. We just documented 800,000 basically useless vaccines. So either they don't do their job, or they cause deleterious effects that the companies aren't responsible for, or they're not properly researched, or the stuff that if you get the flu and you take this damn Tamiflu, that stuff was a complete and total fraud that's causing all kinds of ramifications in the regulation of these drugs. So this is not something that you can just take idly, guys. I wanted to make the show fun, and I mixed in a little other stuff, but. You know, I just wanted to get across the fact that this is fear that they're propagating. Fear, misinformation, confusion, and then denial of all responsibility. It's the ultimate cocktail of absolute just, you know what. And just overlay it, understand how your systems work. Go to somerspace.org, learn the domains. I'm going to post the little course I gave for my 8th grade kiddies over there learning their biological history, not the mystery, over there at Isaac Young Elementary School. Yeah, I guess it's middle school, where they're not teaching them neurobiology. They're not teaching them epigenetics. They're teaching them the old models, the Darwinian model, sort of like teaching people from Newtonian physics. It's old stuff. Let's get the new stuff. This is the new stuff. So I'll play us out here with a little Charlie Brown music as we get into the Christmas mood. Hanukkah winding down. There you go. A little summertime lullaby here on a Wednesday night. Exo night, new moon night. So next week, a cavalcade of stars chiming in from the first half of 2009. As we go back and fish up some authors, maybe we'll get Rushkoff to pop in, talk about what he's doing. Couple of guests stopping by, our first of two year reviews, and then as we make the leap into 2010, Olympic year, World Cup year, midterm election year, what are your hopes and dreams and plans and schemes for 2010? Again, anyone who wants to contact me, come on over to me here at somaspace.org, and you can contact me directly at nakedsoma@gmail.com. I'll answer your questions kindly. Sometimes a little loudly. I write in caps early in the morning. But there you go. Good show. Luis Miranda joining us from Brazil with some good information. Listen back. Share this stuff, guys, because it's the only place you're going to get it. Right here on Summertime every week, Wednesday night, live here on the Big Bad Blog Talk Radio Network. Travel light, my friends. Travel very light through the darkness. See you next Wednesday. Night, bye.